to see if there are any, they should see, look to see if there are any valid points that they need to specifically address, some of which they would disagree with, some of which they might be willing to implement. Such things as considering AI expertise on the board, reviewing the CEO, and it basically would be an executive session of just board members, not senior leadership team. And possibly even discussing these issues with our former our founder and the other major shareholders to get their temperature on the issues that these activists have raised. And then, and finally, is if the board feels that there needs to be some changes made, they need to. Now we're dealing with a public disclosure. The company's going to make changes. It should make a public disclosure that it is. If the company feels that it's going to reject some of the requests from the activist shareholders, that should also be a public disclosure that they've met with the public with activist shareholders. They've made these following demands. Some we've rejected these. We're going to adopt these new policies or initiatives that were suggested. And in that way, the public is properly advised of changes in circumstances or not changes in circumstances, and advised of the fact that have been active, they've been negotiating with activist shareholders.
One more thing, John, that you mentioned is that the initial meeting maybe should be also with an outside counsel.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the next group is Andrew, Frank, Larry, Robert, and Susan.
Okay. And I'm going to represent the group in terms of report out. I think, first off, reaction was, in general, don't overreact. I'd say, first off, there's good evidence that the board is behind the leadership's management strategy. Talks about them actually actively buying stock. So if it's the right strategy, let's not overreact based on two shareholders. Let's also consider the other 90% of shareholders. We talked a lot about the fact that the acquisition was pretty recent, and that the AI investment is more of a long-term strategy. So you don't want to basically whipsaw on a long-term strategy that's essential for a technology business. So don't overreact. That said, the board needs to take the activists seriously because it could create a lot of headwind and noise that's not going to be productive in terms of creating shareholder value. So, we do think that it makes sense for one of the board members, could be the chair, could be another, depending on depending on understanding more about the activist investors, identify the right person. We also talked about having legal counsel both present, but also a little bit of coaching in terms of how to structure the meeting so that there's A, not disclosing non-public information and not letting the activist shareholders get more out of it than would be effective. We said that the tenor of the meeting should first off be seek to understand. It's not to sell. It's really listen and understand what the concerns are. Might learn something, may identify some things that could be helpful, but as well as said earlier, not committing to something and making sure legal is there to help make sure that we stay within the guidelines of what from a public disclosure is copacetic. How should the directors, what's sort of the long-term game here? I think we discussed that the board needs to be prepared for the fact that the activist investors could go public with concerns and could do a whole campaign to try to push to get their board seat or other activities. So the company needs to be, the board as well as management needs to be aligned in terms of doing a better job of telling the strategic story and the vision of the company, as well as if there are changes that are made, whether it's synergies from the acquisition, cost and/or growth synergies, but also as well as around the investment to make sure everyone's on the same page to tell that story, both in public settings as well as in public disclosure.
Good. Thank you. And the final group would be Babs, Jack, John, and Julia.
We did some psychology thinking on this one and came up with some interesting ideas. So we started off by Jack was saying, yes, we should be proactive, let them be heard. John talked about not just having the board chair and the CEO and legal counsel in the meeting, but perhaps one other board meeting. And Julia actually mentioned, well, isn't it odd that they've been communicating with the CEO and it's kind of getting referred to the chair. Does this mean that the board is perhaps weaker than we thought? We also thought they should be going to the 27% of shares between the founder and the two biggest investors and having conversations because it was hinted at that these other activists have probably already done that. And that's what they normally do is go to the other two big ones. So they should be talking about their story. But then we got down to what is really behind the activists and what they really, really want and the psychology of activists. So the first thing we thought is maybe, when they come to the meeting, of course, you have an agenda and have them prioritize in their list of asks what is most important. And then we said, but wait, there's that dividend. They've never issued a dividend, they've never bought back stock. Now it looks like from their investments and lower returns, they're not going to get anything back. The investors are going to get nothing back for a long term, for years probably. So that's why they're coming up with these ideas to sell the company and do other things. And then John said, and look at like their cash flow is like negative now. Like it shouldn't, the mark, their cost should, their cash flow shouldn't have been that low anyway. So what we were thinking is there a way the board should get together and think of strategic alternatives, not to share with the investors, but alternatives that they have in their back pocket about how could we give some kind of return to the investors in the short term if we take on more debt? And we think that's why they might be going after the CEO and not so much the board, because the CEO controls operating margin and cost structure. And if they didn't have cash reserves that were a lot, if you do something about the CEO and make them perform better on the operation side, you have more cash. So we thought we should come up with strategies to deliver something short term to shareholders, whether it's buying back stock, taking out more debt, that's measured debt and well thought out, diligent, taking on debt that in a like not overextending themselves. But we thought this should be the focus of what they should have in their back pocket about really thinking about what the investors are really asking, because their demands aren't really solid and clear, and their thesis plan hasn't been put forward as far as we could see. So what's the thesis, and can we actually satisfy what they want by thinking of a way to give the investors something back in the shorter term?
Thank you. So now I'll turn to Ellen, and I'd like you to sort of reflect on the comments that you've heard and then contrast it with what sort of happened in the real situation. And then, take off from there in terms of your thoughts about these kinds of issues for board directors.
Yeah, a lot of great comments. I know the session I sat in, there was some exciting conversations going on, and it sounds like the other groups did well also. A lot of good points made. Agree with a lot of them, disagree with some of them. But that's life, I guess. So let's step back a second and say, I'm sitting on the board. The situation just happened, and I chair the audit committee, but I'll play the board chair right now. Okay. The first thing is we obviously get the board together and have a very open conversation. What the board does first is make sure that they have an updated, what I'll call strategic analysis and estimate valuation of the company, which they should do on a regular basis. Some of my companies were up to date, some of them were not as current as perhaps they should have been. But you make sure, as a board that you have done an updated look of what value you really think this company should be once the acquisition gets integrated and everything sort of comes back, right? So the next 3 to 5 years. Because before you go out and think about doing anything, whatever that anything might be, you've got to understand from a board perspective what your valuation is that you think you are working with, right? So it's the management team and the board coming together on that. Management does it, the board inputs it, and so forth. Absolutely critical first step. The other first, so there are a couple of first steps after the board gets together. That's one. Another one, I would say, and I think each of you guys touched on this, the board chair and the CEO, no lawyers, absolutely no lawyers. As soon as you bring a lawyer into the room, the conversation goes not in the right place. The board chair and the CEO together. In this case, the board chair is different than the CEO, or it could be the lead independent director. And then you meet with the activists independently, not at the same time, independently, and you go and listen. And you listen. And you're listening for what they're saying. You're listening for what they're not saying. And you spend significant amount of time listening. And I think all three of the groups referred to this, but it's very important because the seriousness of this is obviously critical. These two activists or potential activists want to be taken seriously. They don't want to just talk to the CEO. One of them doesn't like him or doesn't think he's doing a great job. The other one hasn't mentioned it. And a lot of times, by the way, that's a smoke screen. That is a lot of times sort of the thing gets thrown in. So, and that happens more time than you'd like to think. So you listen and you listen hard. Then you take that back to the board and you have a very honest conversation with the board about what you heard and what you didn't hear and the things that should be going on. Now, in the meantime, what should be going on with the company? So, what the things you don't know that were already happening. So you go back and a couple of folks said this. You have now the list from the activists, and you sort of take a look at it versus what you're already doing. And in all my experiences in the last 3 years, 80 to 85% of the ideas were already being done. They just hadn't been disclosed publicly. So, for example, the business about the add a board member with AI, well, the skill sets had already been evaluated. The company was already interviewing candidates for an additional board position, and they just hadn't, it wasn't public yet. So, when they eventually make it public, the activists will, of course, take credit for it, but who cares, right? It's okay. But the point is that there'll be a lot of things on that list. If the board has and management team have been doing the right things, there'll be a lot of things on that list that have been are either in process, being done, that simply have not been disclosed publicly at this point, right? The third thing is the company made a strategic decision to make an investment, acquisition. And with it, to take on a very small amount of debt, and it really was a very small amount of debt. And by the way, the negative cash flow, if you really read that case carefully, the only reason the negative cash flow was there was because of the purchase price from the acquisition. So that means when you really read through those numbers and you really read through that case, they will have positive cash flow going forward unless something goes wrong with the acquisition. So this is a window, right? Where they're having negative cash flow because they bought something. Because it clearly says in that case that the operating cash flow is positive, and the only reason for it to be negative was because of the purchase price of the acquisition. So You go through the list. So what the board has to do is has to go through the list from the activists, measure against it, figure out what's different, and then the question becomes, what do you do next? While this is going on, the company should have had, and if they didn't have, they implement very quickly, a regular interface with all their top shareholders. Now, most, if I go back and think about the different situations I've been in the last 3 years, all but one of the companies was already talking to its major shareholders because they understood when you have shareholders that are above even 2 or 3%, you have regular conversations with them carefully, because you cannot give them material non-public information, MNPI. You can't give them material non-public information. So the conversations are essentially the same conversations you'd be talking about with anyone at an analyst meeting, whatever. But you also listen to those shareholders. So you have a relationship with those share the sort of the big five or the big 10, what however deep you want to go. So that at least as best we know, and I can tell you with my companies, the board or the CEO had regular interface with those, call it the 9%, the 9%, and the founder. Regular conversations, just normal regular conversations, and they're on the calls, they're, so there's already a relationship built. So is there a risk that one of these activists would go and try and match up with them? Absolutely. Nothing to prevent that. But the company and the CEO and the board understand that there's already an existing relationship. And of course, as we announced the fact, as we, the company, announced that we were going out to do this acquisition and we're going to add debt, calls were made to those shareholders. So the company knew it had support from its existing shareholders, right? Not necessarily these two. So coming back to what should this company be doing, if it doesn't already have a plan where it talks regularly to its top 5, 10, 15, however many shareholders, it needs to have that those regular conversations. It can't breach any fiduciary responsibilities. It can't breach the MNPI restrictions for a public company, but it needs to have regular conversations, right? So that's sort of a given. The interesting question comes in, which is, once you've had this conversation, once you've had this conversation, and you've got to now go back to those shareholders, the activists, right? And everybody made the comment. The problem is you can't give them material, non-public information. You cannot. And I can tell you in all these cases, nothing, zero, nothing was disclosed until the final deal at the very end, which in one case took almost 9 months, because you've never have a non-material public information conversation, never. Unless they decide they're willing to sign an NDA and a standstill, which in a couple of cases, the activists were willing to do. It was very interesting. I mean, who knew? Who knew? The activists were absolutely willing. A couple of them were willing to do that because they felt strongly about the company and they were willing to do a standstill for, I don't know, one was 6 months, one was a year, not to touch their position. The alternative for the one couple situations where we had to step back on our heels and say we had a, if there was an analyst call coming up, what of these things do we take public? For example, the fact that we were out adding, looking for a board member with more technology expertise, that was added to a conference call. It was already underway. We were already talking to people. We just hadn't announced who we had picked yet because we were down to the sort of the final straws. So there are situations where you, if you've got a quarterly conference call coming up anyway, it's great. You just add a couple of the things and you make the decision that some of the things you're working on that seem to be getting the people excited, at least these two guys, take them public. Let people know what you're doing, but you do it in the appropriate way that a normal public company board would do it. You don't do, we didn't do any side 8Ks or anything else because we never talked to these guys with material non-public information. So we took them public, the information public, as part of our analyst meeting that we normally do for quarterly results. And so it was available to all shareholders in a normal fashion. And so it was business as usual, right? No big red flags going up anywhere. So, I can tell you, and I mean, I can tell you the end result in all these cases. All the cases had the same end result. But one of the things we did as a board was we turned to the CEO. And by the way, we have a very strong view of the CEO who's doing a great job. So, and we were uniform on this. I mean, you know, this was our view on this one guy was. It was a smokescreen because it's an easy one to throw in. Oh, we're not happy. Well, you're not happy because the stock price is sort of flattened or is going bumping like this. And you're not happy because they took cash, put on some debt, and there and bought a made an acquisition. Well, if you don't like the CEO, it's probably because you don't like the acquisition, right? And you won't really know what the result is until you get to the integration. So the message from the board in this particular specific case where there was an acquisition involved, was focus on performance, focus on integration, focus on getting, you know, we bought this company, we did this deal in order to achieve certain results, some financial, some non-financial, but there were clear financial results we wanted. Contributions, which included integration, revenue, cash flow, and focus on performance, 100%. Just focus on performance. That and talking, obviously communicating appropriately with your shareholder, and that was the job of management, and that's what the board said to management. You know, we created a little subcommittee of the board, who, you know, could work through these conversations at that point. And by the way, that's when the lawyers did get involved, an outside counsel, not inside counsel, because the view was is that if there was ever going to be any deal cut, it was going to be cut at the board and you needed an outside counsel who was clean, independent, and so forth. And in all cases, these issues were settled with nobody even knowing the stuff had been going on, the conversations. In two of the six cases, we added an incremental board member, not from the activist. We had them, we gave them the profile of what we were looking for and said, if you have somebody to recommend, we will make sure they're included. And in two cases, we actually in one case we added two people because one person was coming off for age reasons and other things. And the other case we added one of three people that they had suggested because they actually had the right qualifications of what we're looking for and they hadn't been in our screenshot. So it was win-win. And they actually, in both those cases, the directors were added turned out to be phenomenal directors because they weren't from the activists. They were not activist people. They were other board directors like me who got asked to, Ellen, do you have time? This company needs your background, right? Would you let me put your name in? It doesn't always work out that well, but it luckily it did twice now. I've seen it where it worked out beautifully. And by the way, in all cases, these activists were willing to sign NDAs, and I don't know if a standstill was held in all the cases, but certainly in the two where we ended up adding the directors, there were standstills. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else. We talked about strategic analysis and estimate evaluation. It has to be done regularly. You've got to do it regularly. And in all fairness, when you were buying the company, you were probably doing it anyway, but that's sort of a given. Making sure you listen and don't respond. And then when you know what the issue is, make sure that you respond correctly. If it's things you're doing anyway, figure out a way that all your shareholders are aware of it so you don't have any 8K or anything that creates a yellow flag to shareholders. Because once it has to go public, once it has to go public, it really turns bad. And you lose control of the communications, you lose control of the narrative, and you end up on your back feet.
Ellen, in the minutes that we have remaining in this program, I'd like to open the floor for any questions that people have to Ellen about the case or any questions about the general issues that Ellen's been talking about.
Let me add one thing that I didn't mention. Getting IR, and a professional IR person who has dealt with these things involved, but you have them hired by your outside counsel, so they're under the auspices of confidentiality. So you have to have that going too, in case.
So, Alan, can you talk a little more about when you started about the updated valuation? When you're doing the valuation of company one, are you talking about an independent valuation, I assume, number one, and obviously would strengthen the board position. Number two, in doing the valuation, are you looking at the current market valuation today? Or in this case, you're also looking at, given the acquisition of things, about where you think the future valuation of this company is going to be.
Not today. It's not today. It's not about today. It's about you've just purchased an acquisition. You've going through a period and you've made other decisions. And so when the board agreed strategically to these decisions, there was a look forward, whether it's 3 years or 5 years. It used to be five, it's now really three. In practice, you usually do three and then five, but three is what everyone focuses on. Once upon a time, it was five. And because that's your shooting mark, if you will. Where is the stock going to go? Are we really undervalued? Are we just simply going through a period, which makes sense given that we've made these strategic decisions and we've decided this is the right thing for the company.
Ellen, Julia has her hand raised. Julia?
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment and ask a follow-on question. All of these very planful steps that you're describing really emanate from the legal principle of fiduciary duty. One thing we discussed in our group, and I'd love to hear whether this came up in the way you were counseled by outside counsel, or for that matter, I suppose your crisis relations or whatever you call your IR person, is the idea that separating all that listening and even agreement by all, if the whole board agreed that, yep, good ideas, from acting on the exact ask. So, for example, it could have been the case, and I know we did not all have the same blueprint of this case, but it could have been the case that, the CEO made some missteps in that strategic decision back in 2025, though approved, might not have been the best. Could have been the case that, if there's a ready buyer, a sale might be valuable. But simply those two facts, even if the activist is correct in some manner, doesn't mean that you do exactly what they ask and the moment that they ask it. And I guess what I'm wondering, because it really is, there's a very big, just fundamental principle to avoid doing that and avoid the appearance of it. And I think that you can have all the lawyers in the world, but it is not going to fix it if you do that. So I don't know how much of that came out into the conversations that if you're able to share them, and I realize they may have been underprivileged, but just at a high level, to share that, because listening to each summary, I'm hearing a lot of what the fundamentals of it, but not the actual basis for it. I'm curious how much of that came up when you spoke with counsel. I am a lawyer, by the way. I know we've not met.
Well, you mean when you come back, I just want to make sure I understand your question. So when you come back from listening, you then sit down with counsel, the CEO, the rest of the board, right? And you go through painfully what you heard, right? Some of it is going to be, they're throwing stuff at you against the wall just because. And some of it you're already doing, and some of it makes absolutely no sense, right? So, it's up to the board to step back and have these were very detailed, very painful conversations at the board level, is which of these things are we already doing? Okay. Which of the things are just stupid? And which of the things they're just clearly throwing against the wall because they want to create hell and havoc, right? And, an hour conversation turns into four. And a lot of transparency between the board, the CEO, the CFO, and if you have a COO, and you sit there and you go through these in painful detail, right? I'm not sure how else to answer the question, because depending on what those answers are, causes you. So, for
Right.
example, are
In a
they
very specific way.
really trying to get you to put the company up for sale? And the answer is hard to know. They're obviously not wild about the stock price, but then on the other hand, they haven't been shareholders for very long, have they? So they bought in. Perhaps at a more, that's one of the things you have to find out, is what is their cost basis for their stock? Their cost basis for stock may be the current price. They may not be in the hole at all, right? And this may be their way of just saying, hey, we can get them to put the company up for sale and maybe make a 10 or 20% premium, right?
I guess
So
my
the board has to be very thoughtful. They have to think about this, and they have to, and that's why that valuation analysis has to be current. So if you haven't done it, you got to do it. And you have to be honest about how you do it. You do it internally, and then you have an independent. To Larry's point, Larry Siff had the right answer, where he said the you need both an independent look as well as the internal look. Now, hopefully the internal look's already been done. Right? Because you would have normally done something when you were looking at the acquisition act. You probably had a third party, because you're doing a fairness opinion anyway, doing something like that. So the board has to be, and there's nothing that prevents the board from testing the market. But I can tell you, in all the cases I've been in, we never did. Because it didn't make any sense. We knew the valuation was going to go up, and in all cases it did, after X period of time, especially when people figured out that the cash flow, negative cash flow, was really because of the purchase price of the acquisition. Really? I mean, what a surprise. Oh well. This is not a surprise. And by the way, the CEO had talked about that as a one-time event, that would last for a year or 18 months. It would be a period of time, and then the cash flow would come back. And so the real key is delivering performance. In every case, the focus had to be, by management, deliver performance. We're going to go through a couple of quarters here, deliver performance. And may I add one thing? So,
Larry,
in two of the cases, we did add a board director, which was an interesting, and they ended up being good.
Larry, you're muted.
Larry,
Your
you're muted.
microphone is
So
muted.
I just kept talking.
No,
Oh, I'm
no.
sorry. Thank you very much, Ellen. Really appreciate the case, appreciate the time that you put in, and appreciate your perspective. Thank you all for attending. I want to w
It's
wish
okay.
you the best f for the rest of the summer. Look forward to seeing you next month at Seat at the Table. Take care,
Thank
everyone.
you, Larry. Thank you, Ellen.
Bye.
Thank you. Ellen's a great
Bye.
case. And we have no legal
See.
questions for the lawyer.
Well, Marianne and Larry, when you just a quick question before I get off. Did you want to do something with we could get Leonard and do a little podcast with these questions, and then you could create a little podcast to send out?
Oh,
Well,
because he
think about
participated, and
it.
I think
We'll
that would,
Leonard is
yeah.
phenomenal. Leonard,
Okay,
if I've
that'd be
been through
good.
six, he's been through
Yeah,
60.
yeah, yeah. And then he can use it himself, which is, what he valued, he signed up for. So, yeah.
Well, let me know. Let me know.
Okay,
Okay. Take care.
great. Thanks a
Take
lot.
care.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.